As I mentioned, it's 3:35 California time. I am back after a couple of days of vacation en route to California, and we'll talk about that at 8:15 and some travel stories.
Welcome back.
Yeah, thank you. I really, really need, excuse me.
That's unnecessary.
Really, really need my...
morning coffee.
Yes, my morning coffee. I am working on, I would say something like 9 minutes of sleep.
9 minutes? What's the matter? Just too many different changes in environment for you the last couple of days?
This is a very disturbing story, but I feel like I need to tell it.
Okay. Tell it pretty hard then.
All right, so it's a 2-hour difference. Does my microphone sound like incredibly hot to you guys or
they're,
no?
They're all pretty sensitive. See, but I like the sensitive mic so we don't have to talk very loud.
Okay, good. All right, so we're 2 hours behind Dallas time.
I think he's adjusting it.
And so that's always causing us a little bit of a problem out here because restaurants don't open for dinner till 5, but that's 7 Dallas time, so we're already eating late. So our schedules are always messed up. But I thought I did a pretty good job of getting into bed at the hotel by a decent hour. It was, I would say, 9 o'clock local time. So it was 11 o'clock Dallas time. So I knew, okay, I'm looking at about 5 hours of sleep, something like that, maybe 6. But I was okay with that. Because I've been on vacation for a couple of days, so I've had some sleep banked. Yeah. I had 4 nights in a row of 8 or 9 hours of sleep, so I was okay. Turn off the light. And I immediately hear, boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, boom, boom.
Are they working?
I thought you had that irregular heartbeat checked out. Boom, boom. That sounds horrible.
I do have an irregular heartbeat. It's not that irregular. That's like a dog's irregular heartbeat.
That'd be very alarming.
Boom, boom. Boom. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, okay,
boom,
so what was the sound?
Boom, 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 boom. Room above me. And I'm thinking, okay, someone's walking around. Maybe they just got here. Maybe they're unpacking. I don't know what exactly has happened.
Wonder what issue they were unpacking.
Keeps going. 15 minutes. 30 minutes. 45 minutes.
Dang.
An hour. It's now 10 o'clock California time, midnight Dallas time, and I'm just sitting there listening to a dance contest, a gymnastics recital, someone running a marathon in a hotel room. That's all I could figure out that was going on.
You don't think they're still doing construction? Since we have construction going on in the hotel.
I picked up the phone, and I called the front desk. And I said, yes, I'm in room whatever, and there's all sorts of noise above me. Do you know what's going on up there? Is that a room? Is that a conference room? Is it a dance hall? Is it the gym? What's going on up there? That's a bedroom, sir. I'll send security to see what's happening.
You do not have to get so belligerent with us, sir.
So I hang up the phone, and now I'm resting easy because security is on the way. So I still hear boom, 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 boom. 15 minutes.
For some reason, they don't give enough air gap between the floors in these hotels.
30 minutes. 45 minutes. Another hour. It is now 11 o'clock California time and 1 a.m. Dallas time, and I'm wide awake. And so I call the front desk again because another hour has gone by. I've been listening to this for 2 straight hours, and whatever they're doing in that room, they're not stopping.
Hey, now.
So I called the operator again, the front desk, and I said, yeah, I'm in room again, blah, blah, blah.
You're abusing your phone privilege, sir. Please stop calling us.
I said, number one, did you guys send security? Number two, what are they doing? What did security find? I'm so curious now.
I can't give out that information, sir.
It's now gone beyond me being annoyed that I'm not sleeping. I just want to know what they're doing. Yes, we sent our security team. We will send them one more time. I'm terribly sorry about that.
Team? You think there was more than one person?
No way.
Well, I found out.
Uh-oh. You got arrested.
So now I rest easy because I know that the security team is headed there a second time. So certainly that's going to quiet things down. I turn off the light again, and what do I hear? Still.
Boom, boom.
Boom, boom. 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 Boom, boom, boom.
Okay.
15 minutes. 30 minutes. 45 minutes. Another hour goes by.
So where are we now on the clock?
It's now 12.
About an hour ago.
It's now 12 midnight California time, 2 a.m. Dallas time.
So genius. So genius.
So genius.
So genius.
And so I pick up the phone again, and I call the front desk, and it's a new person now. Someone's just checked in for the midnight shift. I'm sorry, I don't know what you're talking about. I just arrived.
Well, sir, could you calm called down?
Sounds like a pretty good problem.
Could you speak a little more clearly, sir?
I've called twice, and here's the deal, and I just really want to know what's going on. Did security ever go up there?
I don't need that tone,
sir. Let me put you on hold, and I'll find out. Yes, our security team went there, but they didn't detect any noise or anything loud. And I said, well, yeah, they're probably not going to hear it at the door, but I'm hearing it because I'm below them. I said, can you tell me who's in the room? Is it an animal? Is it a human?
It's an animal, but I can't.
What are they doing?
I can't tell you what it is.
I can tell you it's two people in that room, and yes, it is a hotel room. And I said, I've been 3 hours straight. I want to know what they're doing. We can move you to another room. Well, okay, it's 2 a.m. Texas time. I'm going to be getting up in about 2 hours. Why not? Sure, I'll move to another
room. Oh, my gosh, you moved in the middle of the night.
Yeah, if you realize that this is a lost cause, you might as well move.
So the noise continues above me, and I finally, Gordon, you're always accusing me of being passive-aggressive when it comes to issues like this. Mm-hmm. I picked up the phone, and I knew my room number, so I assumed theirs was the same, just one floor up. Plus, I had the room map, so right. I knew what their number was. So I called their room directly.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no, don't do that.
And this woman picks up the phone. Yes?
What, Junior?
Can I ask you what's going on in your room? What are you talking about?
Are you horny right now?
All I've heard for 3 hours is jumping and running and walking and pounding. What is going on in your room? Nothing. I mean, I've gone to the bathroom and my daughter walked over there to brush her teeth and that's it. There is no way that's it.
Uh-oh.
I said, you've been making noise nonstop for 3 hours.
I'm feeling threatened, and this is not a safe space.
And she goes, who is this? And I said, just one of your neighbors trying to get some sleep. Can you please stop whatever you're doing? And I hung up.
Oh, you think he really hung up without the words talk show host not coming out of his mouth?
Yeah, I bet he put that in there somewhere.
To issue that.
All right, I said, this is a talk show host trying to get some sleep.
I told you.
And I hung up. And then I picked up the phone and called again, and I said, and we've won 3 Marconis,
okay.
And we're nominated for a 4th. Guess what?
Got quiet.
After that, it stopped.
See there? Doesn't that teach you that confronting the problem head on will get results?
So, she lied to me. They didn't just make one trip to the bathroom each.
Right.
They were doing something crazy, and I'm guessing it was the daughter running wild for 3 hours.
Or they were herding Cape Buffalo to the bathroom.
So it stops. Well, meanwhile, security is on the way to my room with my new keys for my new room.
Uh-oh.
So
I think your play here is to go the passive-aggressive route and claim that you didn't request to move rooms. So
no.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Two guys did come to the room. There is a security team, and they each to look like Pedro from Napoleon Dynamite. And they said, we're here with your keys for your new room, and we'll escort you.
Jeez.
Okay, you don't need
security escort.
I did not need an escort. And so I said, I got to get up for work in a couple hours. I'm a talk show host. And I'm in this awkward position because the noise has finally stopped. And they're there with a cart, and I've got all this stuff, and I'm unpacked for the next 10 days.
Lingerie everywhere.
Lingerie everywhere. My falsies out on the bed.
Wow.
And I I just said to the guys, I said, well, can I take this key and go sleep in that room tonight and then move my stuff in the morning?
No,
we have to close down the room that you're leaving.
Your room has been decommissioned, sir.
We're going to do it in one smooth motion.
You cannot.
We're going to get you out of this trouble zone and safely.
Okay, this is not SEAL Team 6, guys. Come on.
Be very quiet, sir. Please don't speak. And please don't tell
on a match.
Don't tell anybody what we look like. Our identities cannot be revealed. So I said, all right, I'm just going to ride it out. I said, I'm going to ride it out. Thank you for your time, but I'll just stay here.
So that's a possibility.
What? See, to move, yeah.
Yeah, because if that's in my situation, they would have said, I'm sorry, sir, you cannot stay here. We've already closed the room, and we now have to get you moved to the other room.
Yeah, they at least let me stay.
That's great.
And so then I went back and I called the front desk for a fourth time.
Uh-oh.
And I said,
sir, you are out of calls to the bullpen.
I just want to say that a lot of our content is really good on that show, too.
And if you've never listened, here's how you can stream us on the Sports Day app. Now, I said, look, I appreciate the offer to move me, but I've decided to stay in my room. I said, but I do have one question. The people above me, are they checking out tomorrow, or are they here for a week?
Cannot give that information.
One moment. They are checking out tomorrow. Okay, good. I can ride it out the rest of the night, and fine. Thank you for all your help. So, hang up the phone. I heard maybe in the next 20 minutes, five more footsteps. But for the most part, it was gone.
They stopped playing racquetball.
And I eventually fell asleep, and I believe the last time I saw on the clock, it was something like 1 o'clock California time, and then got up at 2:30 California time. So I got 90 minutes of sleep.
Wow. It's pretty good. That's about what I got. I considered it a full night's sleep. Well, you see, you had a choice, Junior. You could have gone for that one fourth floor room that they had that was on the inside. And you should have done that because the pool is basically being unused right now due to renovation.
Right.
And so you wouldn't have really been bothered by that.
Yeah.
Because that's the reason we were trying to get up so high is to keep from having someone above us.
Yes.
Because these floors and ceilings are so thin.
Yeah.
Seems like you are always tortured by that, too.
I know. I am.
Bad draw every time.
Like, you guys haven't had, like, last night.
I've never had that problem.
Wow, that is crazy.
Boy, all I know is that when these hotel room doors open and close, it is like a shotgun blast going off in the hallway. It is so loud.
Yeah.
But so, they're redoing the hotel, and it looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Off to a pretty good start.
The rooms look pretty good.
Renovation project.
Yeah, Gordo had the very hot sports opinion as we walked into the hotel. They don't need to be redoing this.
I did. I declared it.
It was fine.
I mean, this is unnecessary redo, unnecessary renovation.
But isn't it so nice?
Yeah.
The
rooms are a lot nicer.
It's going to be good.
They've done it. And have you opened the door to see the old hallway?
I haven't.
It'll take you back in time.
The time portal?
Yeah, the time portal. You can go back in time. So just a disclaimer, because of what I went through last night, the trauma that I went through last night.
You scared that poor woman and her little girl.
The trauma that I went through last night, I cannot be held responsible for what I say this morning while broadcasting.
Good, let it rip.
Right now, some travel stories. I was out on Monday and Tuesday. I decided to maximize my vacation days and the fact that work was flying us out west. And so I made a pit stop in Utah. And I met a buddy of mine whose son is out there, and he graduated the University of Utah about a month ago. And so the three of us hung out on a cycling trip. Took my bike, since I always bring it out here. Flew into Salt Lake City. Drove up to Park City up in the mountains. And if you guys have ever spent any time in Utah, you know how beautiful it is.
Yeah, it's a really pretty part.
Southern part of the Utah
Never been there.
State has three or four national parks, Zion and Moab, Arches National Park, and what's the other big one down there? I can't remember. Anyway, it's a gorgeous state, and the mountains up that surround Salt Lake City are spectacular, and Park City is a really, really great, great area, great mountain town. We did some great rides. I posted a couple of pictures on Instagram. Some really steep climbs, breathtaking descents. I didn't know until afterwards, but my computer said that 2 days ago I got up to 56.7 miles an hour on a descent.
Whoa!
And the fastest that I know I've ever gone is 57, but I wasn't really watching, so I could have set an all-time record had I known.
Damn,
man, that's moving.
Lots of fun.
It's illegal.
Lots of interesting things, though, about the state of Utah, including their alcohol laws. Now, as you know, Utah is a very Mormon state. It was basically settled by the Mormons, and Salt Lake City is a Mormon stronghold for sure, and so they have their own laws when it comes to alcohol. When you go into a place and you want to have a beer, you never know what you're walking into. You never know the hoops you're going to have to jump through. And every establishment has a different set of rules. And every alcoholic beverage that's served to you has a different alcohol content based on the place that you're buying it.
I thought it was all 3-2 out there.
All draft beer is
3-2.
Is 3-2. That's alcohol by volume, the percentage of alcohol by volume. So like your normal beer is about 5%. Craft beer is usually even more alcohol heavy, so
they
may
have a
be
lower
7%,
content in Utah.
So much lower, 3.2%. And so, if it's every tap in the state has to be 3.2 beer. If you want stronger beer, you buy it via the bottle at the bar. Every single person that walks into a bar has to be carded. So even someone like me with nothing but gray hair, I still got carded. If you go into a restaurant, there will be a sign in most restaurants that says, this is a restaurant, not a bar. And so if you walk up to the bar in a restaurant and you sit down and you order a beer, they say, sir, this is a restaurant, not a bar. And then you have to order food, and they'll put down a menu in front of you. And I said, well, I'm from out of state. How does this work? And they said, we are a restaurant, not a bar. You have to order some food, and then we can serve you an alcoholic beverage. And I
sort of they just sell, like, Lucy cheese sticks?
Yes, exactly.
You just buy one cheese stick?
We went into one restaurant where you could order a 50-cent pickle.
Boy, Norm would love that.
Another restaurant where you could order $2 worth of potato chips. And then you can Then you can order as much alcohol as you want. And you know what it reminded me of? In Texas, we have that law where if you're going to remodel a house, you can take it down to the fireplace. But as long as you leave the fireplace, then
it's a remodel. It's not a new house.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing in Utah. As long as you order a 50-cent pickle, then you can order all the booze you want. But you're pretending that you're there for food.
It's a weird little fig leaf they got going there.
Why do they do that? I mean, I know why they do that, the religious thing, but why do they do that? It's just so silly that they make you do that.
Of course, if Norm did that, it would be, okay, you enjoyed your pickle there, sir. What would you like to drink? You want a beer?
Oh, no, I'll just have another pickle. I'm just ordering pickles.
That's a really good deal. Hey.
All of the liquor, the hard liquor, can only be purchased, if you want to buy some and take it home, it can only be purchased in their state-run liquor stores. So every once in a while, you're driving down the road and you'll see a building that just says State Liquor Store.
Huh.
There are no private liquor stores that sell a bottle of whiskey. You have to buy it at a state liquor store.
State gets all the money.
And the state, I guess, gets all the money. It's illegal to bring alcohol in from the outside. If you go across the border and buy a six-pack of beer, you can't take that into the state of Utah.
Yeah, that's bootlegging.
And yeah.
You can try to do it in 24 hours. Very difficult.
I bet I could do it.
And so when you walk into an establishment, and they have real weird laws about when you can buy beer, like, and where, in grocery stores or food stores, hard liquor only in these state liquor stores. I think you can buy warm beer in a grocery store, but it cannot be refrigerated. And
really?
Yes, and that's just another little hurdle that they're making you jump so that you can't drink it straight out of once you buy it. because they know you're going to want to go chill it.
Right.
Just that's such a bad idea, though, that part.
What?
Just not having...
Separating beer and liquor?
Maybe, well, no.
Beer on top, the liquor whole bottom.
The whole thing about warm beer, maybe that does discourage people from opening up a couple as they get in their car.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
And then they, and I'm not real familiar with this, but they have something called the Zion Curtain Law. And that is that if you are a restaurant that serves alcohol, you have to prepare that alcohol behind a curtain so that kids don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
So that they won't be tempted by the devil's drink.
Huh.
Isn't it crazy?
Gosh, it is. It sounds so out of anachronistic. You know, it's just like so old timey.
That's a state in our union mm-hmm. that has all of those crazy liquor laws. Huh. So it was a great time because Utah, if you love the outdoors, Utah is just spectacular.
Pretty clean state. Do they
really clean state? And yeah, they keep everything really, really tidy. And I'll say this about the Mormons, whatever you believe about what they believe in, they are extremely friendly people,
mm-hmm.
like really nice people. And we had a great time in Park City. It's a tremendous place to go. But when you go, if you like to drink a beer, you got to know what you're in for because it's not easy. And you've got to jump through a bunch of different hoops and you don't know what percentage beer you're getting. So study up.
Attractiveness of population? Is it
there were a few
average?
Blondes. There were a few blondes there.
What? I said population.
I'm
not restricted to any particular expression of gender.
Right.
Or any particular biology.
Yes, we may have noticed attractive females and males. Of mainly blonde origin.
You notice those attractive males. There's no doubt about it.
We always used to notice that at any Utah Jazz game back when they were really good, like going to the NBA Finals with Stockton and Malone, everybody in the stands is an attractive blonde.
What's with that?
Something's going on there. I haven't gotten to the bottom of that. Get to the airport, and I'm in line to get some food, and this lady who's ordering ahead of me turns to me and hands me this and says, here, a voucher. And I said, oh, she goes, you can have it. I said, really? She goes, yeah, it's $15 worth of free food.
Deal.
And I take said, it.
She goes, I'm about
it's
to get on
Jesus.
Yeah, she goes, I'm about to get on the plane. I can't use it. And I said, really? She goes, yeah, it's yours. I said, well, thank you. I guess she was
and you woke up without a
somewhere.
Kidney.
And I woke up without a kidney.
Oh, that went fast.
I knew it was going to be a scam.
No, but I thought that was really, I said, well, thank you. That's really nice of you. And I promised her I was going to pay it forward.
Okay, well, do something nice for me today.
Yeah, buy Gordon lunch.
No, I thought my idea of paying it forward was I'm going to today eat all that food that I bought with the voucher.
What?
I'm paying it forward to myself again. It's a double payment forward.
Wow.
That's the way he thinks.
Yeah.
As I'm standing there in line to get on the plane, and thanks again to Southwest Airlines, our partners here at the Ticket.
Indeed.
They flew all of us out here, the greatness of Southwest Airlines. And this is for Southwest when you're getting on the plane. It's for all airlines these days. But I noticed they said, we will now take our pre-board passengers.
Yeah, we commented about this yesterday, too.
They're like 40 pre-board passengers.
40 pre-boards.
Yeah,
meanwhile, Giorgio
status?
And I paid the $40 to get in the A1 through 15. We were able to get the last few spots on that,
mm-hmm.
where we could get on there and get a decent seat.
No.
But there were 40 pre-board people, all of them looking able-bodied, by the
yes.
way.
Who are these pre-board people?
Yes, that's my question. And this is a new thing, like in the last year I've noticed. Pretty much anybody can pre-board, and now you're pushed way back down
mm-hmm.
the line.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at all these people who are pre-boarding, and it may be, it's like two completely healthy parents with a four-year-old who seems to be normal and is walking on her own. And I'm thinking, why did they get to pre-board?
He has flight anxiety. So he needs to pre-board.
Right.
Is that it?
I don't know.
They make up something?
Well,
so.
Why don't we do that, George? We need to be pre-boarders next time.
Okay.
I'll just say you're a little slow, and it's very
what
believable.
Does that mean?
So,
what does that
well,
mean?
I mean, you know that you don't look like a person who's all there.
Well, you look homeless. So, what
right.
the hell are we going to do with that?
That's right.
I'll pre-board
we'll
with the two
each
of you.
Guardian, right? Craig will be our guardian.
Jeez.
I get on the plane, Do you remember my story of flying to Alaska and the kid behind me playing superheroes?
Yeah,
he seemed
genius.
To attract them.
I like him.
I do attract them. So I told you very early the story of I also attract people in the hotel who are dancing above me for 3 straight hours making unbelievable noise. Well, I told you that I confronted that person. I finally picked up the phone at 1 a.m. and I called the room above me and I said, "What are you doing up there?
Mm-hmm.
I just want to know." And they said, "Nothing. We're just walking into the bathroom." I said, "No, you've been nonstop for 3 hours. It's keeping me up. But more than anything, I just want to know what you're doing." And she wouldn't tell me. But at least I confronted her and then
right.
the noise
stopped.
First time
in life you showed guts.
And yes, and it felt great,
yeah,
by
see
the
there?
Way.
Told you.
I can't believe I've been such a weasel for 52 years. But the noise stopped. And so it was the second time that day I had confronted someone because as I get on the plane and we reach cruising altitude, kid behind me puts down his tray table and just starts pounding on it like he's playing the drums
yes,
on it.
Yes, he's so
oh, that kid did it. We paid him.
Yeah,
and,
I know.
Sure enough,
hey, little John Bonham, here's $10.
And I'm thinking,
I got a job for you.
I'm thinking it's going to stop here pretty soon, and it never stops. And I didn't understand how the kid doesn't understand that the tray table is attached to that seat, which is attached to me.
To your leg bone.
How can
leg
he not
attached.
Get that? So I finally unbuckle my seatbelt and I get up and I turn and I look over the seat and he's not looking up. He's just looking down, banging away at the tray table.
Yes, yes.
And I'm standing there and then his brother, I guess, was sitting in the middle seat and elbowed the kid because the brother saw me and the kid had glasses and looked up at me and I said, "Hey, can you stop banging on the seat?"
Oh,
gosh.
Did you say please?
No.
Oh.
And he goes, "Okay." And it stopped.
Wow.
The rest of the flight was in comfort.
Junior has finally learned the basics of communication.
You know what? It is great having a spine.
Yeah. It's almost like a superpower, isn't it?
Yes. And then when I took off, I sent Gordon and George a text. And I informed them, and my text read, and I quote, "Dear gentlemen, I am on time, and I will be landing at LAX at 2:20. I can meet you at luggage, or if you have left the airport, I can drive to you. Just let me know. And when I land and I take my phone out of airplane mode, the first text I see is a response from Gordo that reads, F-U, and you used
the full word.
The full F word.
Okay, but in my defense, I didn't like your tone.
His tone.
I think my tone was beautiful.
Your content was fine, but I felt it was an aggressive tone.
Oh, my gosh.
That's what I had to put up with.
I felt Man. Threatened.
That's horrible.
The other odd text I got yesterday was from our engineer, Killer, who's with us every morning here at training camp.
Yeah, could you decipher his English?
And I said, "Hey, we're not going to meet out front since they're doing construction at our hotel. Let's meet at the back corner of the parking lot instead."
He texted back, "Turtles."
And Killer responded, "That's where all the druggies hang out."
Gosh. What does Killer know
sounds
about
like
druggies hanging out back there?
So we made it safe and sound. We told you last hour about our 2-hour drive from LAX here to Oxnard, but we're here. Weather's great. Hotel's great. We're excited.
Hey, you know who sat 2 rows behind me on our flight out from Dallas-Fort Worth?
Okay, so you've been teasing this all morning. A famous college football coach.
Yes.
You kept
Texas
saying
ties.
It was some big deal, and it kept just glancing off of me. Did you see
know
who that
who
was?
He is. You know who he is.
I kind of know who he is, but you acting like it was a big deal.
Current or former?
He's a current college football coach, Division I. And
Power 5?
Oh, yeah.
Has he won a natty?
He hadn't won a natty. I don't even know if he's won a conference championship. He has not won a conference championship.
You just irritate me so much.
But I'll say this. He has helped revolutionize offense in college football.
Gus Malzahn?
No.
Did you claim he was sitting by me, too?
And we have played a lot of audio from him.
He's crazy.
Mike Leach.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's big.
I know. It was huge, and I was trying to talk to him, and then we got stopped by a flight attendant who wanted to talk ticket with us, which was fine. She was very nice and everything, but I lost track of Mike Leach. I was going to try to interview him.
So you didn't see him until you were deboarding?
I saw him as he boarded. I guess he was behind us. He boarded the plane after us, and he walked right by me. And as he's walking by, I said, "Hey, Coach, how you doing?" "Good." Yeah, fine. Okay. Yeah, he's kind of rambling. And I could hear him talking two rows back.
Oh, so during the flight, you never went back to talk to
no,
him?
No, I didn't. Okay. No.
You were going to get him after the,
right.
he got off the plane?
Yeah. Coach Leach.
Wow,
just
that's
a
pretty
of
good.
Behind, yeah.
That's a good brush with greatness.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I ended up moving away from you, so I would have been sitting next to him, I guess, because I was about, what, a row or two behind you?
Yeah, where did you go?
I moved towards the back of the plane because I wasn't getting enough leg room there. And I figured, oh, I'll go back and sit back in where I can lean against the wall. And then the plane filled up, and the person sitting next to me was a little bit well-fed.
What?
They were a person of
size,
of beauty. They were a person of lots of beauty.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was a little bit cramped, and I realized, why did I pay that $40 to pre-board after to get the select business or whatever, mm-hmm. after 50 pre-boards take up all the good seats, and then I end up moving to one of the worst seats in the plane.
Could have sat
by Mike
Leach.
$40 for that privilege.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, we're here, and we're in camp for 10 days. We'll be out here covering the Cowboys.
It's 11:30. It's the Birdhouse. It's Mike.
Hey.
Hey.
First up, Chris Heddens. My man, you think the NFL will change the new rules regarding offensive players hitting with their helmets after preseason? Seems like the running back and all the O-linemen are going to be kicked out before the first quarter is over.
The rules they give the officials in the league are, my personal opinion, and Donnie will have his personal opinion in a moment. Those rules are very, very difficult on the handful of men they then tell to enforce them. And you will have instances of leading with a helmet where the player can simply say, I was simply trying to get lower. By lowering my shoulder, I was trying to protect the people trying to get to my body. And that's why that collision occurred. I think this is one of those crazy rules that it sounds good when you hear about it, and then it doesn't sound so good when you see games and it gets either not enforced or unequally enforced.
Yeah, I do wonder how it's going to flow or how disruptive it will be in preseason. I think if it is, then they may just say, hey, they might not just come out and say, hey, we're not enforcing that rule anymore, but they may tell them, man, we may need to chill out if it's called way too much in the preseason. I'm interested to see how it goes for sure.
I'm going to ask you a question. You're the runner, okay?
You're damn right I am.
Damn right. You've broken through the line of scrimmage, and here comes a safety that hits,
yeah,
baby.
Here comes Earl Thomas.
Here comes Earl Tower. God knows he's gone now. Cam Chancellor. He's bringing 240, 245 pounds. And he's aiming high thigh, baby. Well, are you going to take that hit? Are you going to take that boom to the middle of your body? Or are you going to get low and hope he can bounce off your shoulders and the hip you give him? Well, do you risk a flag there?
I know. I'm just going to go out there and try to play football. And if I'm balling up to try to absorb that hit and I put my helmet down and then our helmets collide, who are you calling the penalty on, me or him? It's really going to be confusing if they really try to enforce this rule. All right, go ahead, Mike.
Bookdell, 27. Relative to the rest of the league, the Rangers have a severely lacking talent pool. Does Bannister get fired after this terrible season, or does he get saved by the lack of overall talent?
I don't think he gets fired, no matter what happens. Like, no. They've been too good before when we probably didn't expect it for him to have this one season, and then they X him out. Now we have another year or two of this, then maybe his seat starts getting a little hot. I don't think it's hot right now at all.
I don't think it is either. I challenge anybody to look at the pitching staff he was given to work with this year and think, oh yeah, I could have managed that staff. I don't see Bannister in trouble at all.
On that note, Joseph Rossitti, we keep talking about trading Hamels and maybe Minor. If we trade one or both of them, then who's in our dang rotation next year? Perez and?
Did you ever see the movie with the invisible rabbit?
Harvey.
Harvey. That's who's in our rotation. We got three Harveys.
Where did you pull that from? What's Invisible Rabbit? I've never heard of that.
That's pre-Donovan on Earth movie.
Okay.
Okay.
It's an old black and white
movie.
Film. Yeah, Jimmy Stewart.
Bad,
it's pretty good.
It?
A 1950 comedy drama.
You want to watch it, Mike?
What do you think?
Or, wait a minute. Maybe, Jeremy, we could give them another one. Maybe we could give them our rotation next year. We'll have Claude Rains in it three times.
I don't think they know who that is.
He's the Invisible Man.
At Rich Girls Dallas, would Norm or Donovan give the T.O. Hall of Fame speech in Canton for $10,000?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I'd give it if he were there.
For free?
And the $10,000.
No, you offered $10,000. But wait a minute, that's changing the deal here.
Yes, I would, for sure.
One more from Bookdale. In the next 5 years, the sports gun is out. Do you see any of the major four teams winning a championship round here?
Next 5 years. Yes.
Nice.
I can see it. Norm, it's pointed at you.
I think that would be right at the point where the Mavericks hope they're about to win a championship. Right in that 4 or 5 years down the road area. I think the Stars think they're in that area right now. I think the Stars are geared to win a championship now. Whether they do or not, I think they're geared to win the championship
right now.
The Rangers, it's going to take a real remake in certain areas. Cowboys.
I think with parity in the NFL, you can go 1 year thinking you don't have a chance, and then the next year you can have something happen, and you get this last place schedule, and you win games, and you build confidence. What was that?
Don't worry about it.
I would say Stars would be my number one hope, and I would say Cowboys would be my number two hope. How about you?
I would probably flip them.
All right.
Cowboys, Stars, Mavericks, then Rangers.
Okay.
Dang, really?
Yeah.
I might have Mavericks number one.
You're a homer.
Mavericks are Stars. All right, Chicken Lord, do you find Ted Williams bobblehead night as ironic and funny as I do?
Given that he managed here 1 year?
That's probably not the reason why it's ironic and funny. But
no, it's the frozen tuna can one.
Ooh, wait a minute. Will they be frozen when they're handed out?
Okay. Just in little coolers?
Oh, is it just the head?
Or like the little ice cream push cart?
God, that's awesome. What a great idea.
All right, Jay Cranfill, have you ever made a significant decision in your life by flipping a coin?
Not too significant, but the coin has made a few decisions. Early on, it was mostly probably girl-related.
So you'd be, what, male or female, and you flipped a coin?
It's way too early in camp for this, Norm. Okay. Way too early. You know what I'm talking about, Mike. Should I, should not? Well, let's flip the coin and see.
Well.
And then when you don't get the result you want, you say, okay, best 2 out of 3.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, best 3 out of 5.
And by the way, we'd like to, for all of you to remember, this was Donovan saying that not that significant a decision.
You know, it's closing time.
Yeah.
All right, Rye Bread, what one celebrity you would freak out the most if you bumped into them while you're in California? Is it Ashley Lynn?
Oh, my Kevin God. Sp-
I think I'll be good. If I...
We didn't recognize you. The dog's here. That's terrific.
Dude, after 10 years of working here, I think no drop makes me laugh more than that.
It's still great.
It's so insane.
It really is. Yeah.
Who is that?
That's Gribble. Gribble fawning over
Ashley Lynn. She's a soap opera actress. I do believe that was the case.
Listen to this.
That
one
was
more
going
time.
To be my next question, by the way, to you.
Now listen to his excitement about meeting a soap opera actress.
Oh my God! We didn't recognize you. The dog's here. That's terrific.
Are you serious?
correctly.
It looks terrific.
You record that on a wax cylinder or something?
It's truly amazing.
That is some genuine happiness to see Ashley Lynn.
I
want Twig to, when she sees me after I get back from training camp, to act just like that when she sees me.
Now, what was the exact question? Because I think I've got my answer to that.
Which celebrity would you freak out the most if you bumped into them while in California?
Mine would be Kevin Spacey.
Oh.
Because he's in such trouble now for the stuff he did, and I wouldn't know whether to go up and say hello to him. I wouldn't know whether to say I've enjoyed so many of the things that you were part of.
Oh.
But, oh, my God, what in the world were you thinking?
Like, would you walk up to him and ask him that?
No, that's why I'd be freaked out. I wouldn't know how to, you know, he's a man of enormous talent, but obviously, oh, my, we're just finding out the other side of that coin.
Okay.
I don't know who I would freak out meeting.
Bob.
Yeah, hey, it's Denzel. Tales.
Ooh, Denzel. That might freak me out a little.
Yeah. I think I'd freak out.
Fair enough.
Denzel.
All right, Michael Barnett, if you were to describe yourself as an ice cream flavor, what flavor would you be and what toppings would you have?
The hell?
I just cut and paste them, bros.
I'm not a topping man, first of all.
You're describing yourself.
Okay, I can do this. I would be Rocky Road with cherry sauce.
What's the cherry sauce?
Because I had to put a sauce on it, and I like cherry sauce.
You should just top everything. You have a lot of cheese. Even if it's ice cream, your Rocky Road with a whole lot of cheese.
Shredded
Rocky
cheese
Road
on
with
top.
Provolone.
God.
With an olive on top instead of a cherry. That's a perfect description of you. Rocky Road with cheese and an olive on top.
And he would eat it.
That's the worst thing about it. Not only is it an accurate description, he'd eat it.
Yep.
Good grief.
So wait a minute, what about you? Double chocolate. No.
Boy, he saw that fumble twisting on the ground.
No one else could have
jumped
possibly.
On that one, boy. Oh, man, I don't know. Dutch chocolate.
Ooh.
with sprinkles.
You know what you can't say anymore?
Chunky
chocolate.
Why can't you say chunky
because
chocolate?
Because you're not chunky anymore. You're lean, man. You're
not chunky at
you're
first?
Both, well, that's
what
why you went into
say,
the gym.
Norm?
That's why you went into the gym. You're now
lean.
You're chocolate, man.
I'm skim chocolate.
Matt Mosley, would you rather be a squirrel, a raccoon, or an opossum?
Oh, my gosh. You could take opossum out. Opossums are dumb.
Yes.
Raccoons
and I can take a
smart,
squirrel out, because that would mean I'd be chased by Mally and Vanilla about 15 times a day on the property.
And squirrels are always getting hit by cars, so they probably aren't very smart. Give me the raccoon.
Me too.
Think I'm with you. Plus, you can figure out trash cans and eat pretty good.
Right.
And you can have cool nicknames like Rocky.
Jay Cranfield, what's your favorite roller coaster of all time?
Judge Roy Scream, because of the theme song that they had every time they had the Six Flags commercial. Rolling in from the west down here at Six Flags, made out of wood, a roller coasting dream. It's awful big and it's awful mean, they call that thing the Judge Roy Scream. Ah! I used to sing that all the time. There you go.
You think I'm going to give any answer after that? You all are wrong. That's the end of this segment.
You missed such a great layout opportunity, Norm. We were all ready. Sometimes you just have to be silent.
No, I did.
I can't say anything now.
But I didn't say anything for a while, so we got a nice clean copy of that.
Okay, we'll work on it when you get back.
Previously on Bad Radio.
Come on now. Sweet Home Alabama.
It's not even close.
No.
It's not even close.
I heard this song before. Hey,
it's on Madden.
Listen to this, bro.
It's on Madden.
With Coach Kimes, bro.
Uh-huh. Nah, this ain't on Madden. This on
Guitar Hero.
It's just
Sweet
like
Home Alabama.
Boy,
What is this dude's name, bro? Oh my God, bro.
I'm trying to think. Bro, I play this on Guitar Hero all the time.
I'll tell you his name. His name's Kurt Cobain. Does that help at all?
Kurt Cobain.
He's dead.
There's a VIP area. The other area are people who are not VIP.
Yes.
So they have...
they call it the ghetto. Because anybody can get in there.
They have championed their cause as the ghetto.
Yes.
Now they're all white. Donovan's there with a microphone.
But I wouldn't even say they're all white. There's a nice mix. There's
okay,
the black,
whatever.
The Hispanic,
but it
the
is
white
funny
is in both areas.
But it is funny that the white guy yelling it feels compelled to explain to Donovan why they
yeah,
call it the
another,
ghetto.
Another guy yelled it.
I don't mean to offend you and where you're from.
And it was a different voice. So when he yelled it, I looked over at him because it was a different voice. And I guess he thought I was offended when he said the ghetto.
Yeah,
so he tried
it
to explain it.
Okay, let's nobody talk. Let's just hear it as it happened because it's really funny.
Okay.
We do call it the ghetto.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. I didn't go back far enough.
The ghetto, Michael! Come on!
Keeping it real.
You never know, man.
Hey, Playmaker! Show us some love, Playmaker! The ghetto, Michael! Come on!
We do call it the ghetto, though, so it's not disrespectful.
Oh, no, I didn't say a word.
I like you to say it on attack.
So funny that Donovan instantly is looked at and...
Oh, ghetto. Sir,
I'm sorry, sir. I
didn't mean to remind you of your upbringing, sir. I'm sorry.
I mean, we think the ghetto's great. We mean it as a term of endearment.
Yes, I love good times.
Ghettos are fun.
When we call it ghetto, we mean...
We mean the great place.
Really coveted place that you'd want to be.
That we wish we were born in. But unfortunately, we weren't.
How hilarious.
We have money. And we're white.
I guess there's some burn the boat in me, burn the boats out there, get on the land and burn the boats. So there's a little of that.
Burn the bridges behind you.
Yeah, burn the bridges. Burn the bridges. Yeah. But
and he runs it in from the 23-yard line in the NFL. We're up 100. We're down 100. We're gonna fight. We're gonna fight. We're gonna fight. We're gonna fight. We're gonna fight.
Hey, repeat after me. Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
You the best.
You the best.
Amen.
Amen.
Hi, this is Kellen Moore of the Dallas Cowboys, and you're listening to a couple of big hairy cocks, Bob and Dan. A 96.7, the ticket.
The league wouldn't clip me for PEDs right now.
Right about now, Sports Radio 1310, the ticket presents the Bob and Dan Radio Show.
Love those butt-fucking blueberries.
Today's extra occasion include, how many Super Bowls will Jerry predict the Cowboys will win this season? Will any photos of Jerry drunk in the bathroom with a stripper from Ada, Oklahoma surface today? And how many Cowboys will be arrested for mistaken identity? Also, what does a mind know? Julie Dobbs, Jacob Camp, and RIPTC. And now, two guys who may be eating fresh fish tacos for the next 2 weeks, but it's all good because it is Meat Week
meat
back
week
here. Meat Week. Bob Stern, hand me down.
Down.
Yeah. Feeling a little bassy still, Dan. It is Wednesday, July 25th, 2018. It's the Bob and Dan Radio Show, live today in Oxnard, California. From Tennis Court 3, here at the facility, it is time to get it on.
No choice but to get it on.
We must get it on. There is no choice but to get it on from sunny Southern California. Episode 4697, Shorty.
Shorty.
Here we are, back again. As it washes over us. As we were discussing, what, yesterday or Monday or... At some point when we were last broadcasting, the question was, are you more of a find a new vacation every year person, or are you a find a place that you love and just keep going back to it person?
And maybe they're not mutually exclusive ideas, but for those who do find a place that they love, I present to you Oxnard, Ventura, California, as a place that is now woven into our DNA, Dan, through years of repetition, figuring things out, experimenting at times, figuring out what places, what's the best way to do this? How about this? You know, where do you buy this? Where do you get your laundry done? I feel like we could do the visitor's guide to training camp pretty well.
I think we were giving the Bob and Dan tour this morning.
I don't know.
We passed that area where... Were you in the car, Donovan, when...
Of course he was.
We were pretending we were doing a tour, and we were saying, all right, well, here's where Bob was pulled over by a police officer.
Yeah, I was in the call for that.
Here's the spot where Bob got out and posed on the grass that they were growing. Were you there for that?
I was.
Here's where Donovan once shot 140 on golf. Didn't you do that when you were here? You love golf.
Probably was more than that.
Do you guys...
But we've been to Vons twice already.
I haven't been once.
Really? We're trying
no,
to set
we
the...
No, we got in pretty... Well,
we're trying to set the new record.
Why do you have to go twice?
The old record was was 0.8 times per day. And we're trying to set that new record. Yeah, we got in last night. Bob needed some medicine because he's all sick.
Some NyQuil.
And
I got to tell you, maybe it's just because I haven't partied my whole life, but NyQuil puts me in a really good spot. And I'm just so gonzo for like 9
NyQuil,
or 10 hours.
It hurts me the next day, though. Like, I feel it.
It's hard.
I feel it like drinking.
Yeah, it's I feel it worse.
Really?
And I have comparisons. It's horrible.
Like, there's...
Like, straight
whiskey. Get out of here.
That's drugs, bro.
Straight whiskey doesn't put you to sleep, though.
I don't know. Try it.
Okay, tonight...
Have you ever had straight whiskey?
I don't think straight whiskey.
Have you ever poured, like, a glass of bourbon, like, in Billions?
I don't know what that means.
Like Mad Men.
Like, just go get a... ice cube, put it in a glass, and just pour the alcohol with no chaser.
Got to get a nice round ice cube.
Just get two fingers.
I often think that tastes a lot like cough medicine. Is that the experience most people feel, or do some people think it tastes delicious and they can't wait to get...
No, a lot of people think it tastes delicious.
Yeah?
I can't drink anything straight like that. I have to chase. I'm a wuss. But that's okay. I'm fine with it.
I didn't tell you guys about a traffic stop in British Columbia. Are you interested in that at all?
Well,
so
were you on the left side of the road?
I guess it's my thing to get pulled over anytime I leave town, because ticket T-shirts don't mean as much in those places. Why somebody?
Plus, you're used to just driving with no rules, because you in Dallas you don't have any rules.
No rules,
because you're Bob.
Just right. It was a very complicated get back to the airport thing in Vancouver, and I missed the right ramp. Very frustrating. You're like, oh, gosh, can't they mark this better? They know if you're going to the airport, you're clearly from out of town. You don't know.
Does your wife know navigation help?
None whatsoever. She's gramming.
There's no worse navigator.
It's really bad.
I'll tell you what. Although the amount of time and effort and proofreading and redos of any Instagram post.
She's got that done?
It's... Like, if you were ever to post anything on Twitter or Instagram, I'm guessing you probably give it a solid 2 minutes of your time, right? You're never grinding for 30 minutes.
No, yeah.
And you're never throwing it open to the family on what would be a good hashtag for this picture.
Because you're probably only using a picture or two.
Yeah.
Like, every time my wife is on Instagram,
it's like a 10-picture album.
And then she wants the collage like seven different ones on one,
the
and then the video on one and all that. It's an undertaking.
And they're writing on the screen, and they're picking emojis for this picture, and it's just, there's a lot to it. There's a lot to it. Well, anyway, I take the wrong ramp, and so now I'm headed back into Richmond, which is the suburb where the airport is, and I'm like, okay, no problem. I'll just take a U-turn here. There's no sign. And there's cops coming the other way, but they're way off in the distance. But it does occur to me that I think I can do this. If I can't, I guarantee they're going to let me know. And sure enough, U-turn, totally clear, no problem whatsoever. And their lights, both of them, they had two cop cars. Both of them were lit up in the 1/100th of a second. They pull me over in that British Columbia way, which means one guy is behind me, but one guy is now, like, diagonal, cutting off two lanes of traffic because we have an incident here. Like, it felt a little excessive, I'm not going to lie. And the guy rolls up. By the way, a little something about Canada that I've never noticed in Dallas. That if, forgive me, Jake especially, will you please forgive me for this? I'm not positive what religions or ethnicities wear the headdress, the wrap. I believe it's Indian of some sort, but the full kind of knot in the front. Man from that part of the world.
Okay, we're talking man with a knot, then yes, we're thinking more India.
Okay. Well, apparently, if you are from there and...
Dot or feather?
Dot.
Hindu. How about... we just answer that.
Apparently, if you're a Hindu police officer in Canada, you're not made to wear the police hat. You can wear your...
The thingy.
Your head wrap in uniform.
It's like cops in Fort Worth wearing cowboy hats.
Yes, it threw me off a whole bit. Well, no, you're not actually in India, though, Jake. You're in British Columbia, which that it's
not. It'd be like a guy from Fort Worth who now works in Canada.
Who's wearing a cowboy hat.
Who wears a cowboy hat.
There you go. Anyway, kind enough as they were, they let me know that, no, of course there's no U-turn sign there. There are no U-turns in British Columbia.
Like, period.
It doesn't exist.
Evidently, it doesn't exist.
So you have to drive around the globe to get to the other side?
Apparently you have to do two lefts or something like that. But
it's insane.
But I said there's no sign.
Did you bring to them, hey, let me give you this, like, bringing to them from America?
Just
like,
what if you become rich for inventing U-turns in Canada?
They never thought of it.
Right.
they thought of it, but only outlaws try it. And I said,
before we get yelled at, maybe you're Sikh. I don't know. We don't know these things.
Okay, that sounds right.
Yeah, I think that probably is right. Sikh.
Tough.
Yeah, there you go. I think
just never seen that down here. No. I'm not judging.
Of course not.
Not judging at all, Jake. If
Anupama.
If the Dallas...
Jake is our PC principal.
Yeah.
What?
I try to run things by Jake before we use him on the air. Like, Jake, I'm thinking about saying this. Too far?
Thank God for Meat Week.
Then he gets out a ruler and just wraps me on the knuckles as hard as he can. Doesn't even answer. Just the ruler to the knuckles. Anyway, yeah, they were very kind, as you would expect your Canadian Sikh police officers. But they said, just keep in mind, no U-turns in British Columbia, and as I can tell, you're on your way to the airport. Have a nice flight.
So no ticket, huh?
No ticket. No ticket T-shirt, no ticket. So not as fun as my ticket in Oxnard many, many moons ago, where you guys responded to how anybody would respond to a traffic stop, which is record as fast as you can. Grab your phones and record.
And take pictures.
And take pictures.
Oh, hey, do you have audio cable here, Blake? Let me see that. Speaking of that, I grabbed my phone last night. Oh, here it is. Did you guys enjoy the... So we're on a flight. When you're on a flight on an airline that has the... you don't have an assigned seat. It's general admission. So that's what we were. Is there only one airline that does that?
I think so, yes.
Anyway, I had a pretty good spot, I thought. I was A50. By the way, it looked like you were way ahead of me.
I was.
So you could pay for that.
Yeah.
I paid a week before or whatever, a month. And you could, so somebody could just show up at the airport and pay to get ahead of me.
You just didn't pay $15 for that. You had
No, it was more than 15. It was 40.
I saw all of a sudden I'm in A50.
But I said, wait a minute, I can get A4 for $40? Yeah, let's do this.
Like, if I knew you got A4, I would have offered them 50 for A3. It's just a big contest.
Well, it's not a big contest because C-52 seemed like the last seat on the airplane. I'm sick. I need to sleep. I got on
Hi,
first.
Christy.
Found a nice exit row. Found
Cowboys,
a window.
Christy Scales.
Put a little pillow right there, and I was out for 3 straight hours.
You know what perfect. I should do? I should tease ahead the audio, because I don't want to kill another 2 minutes here. I mean, people are sitting around their radios saying, gosh, shouldn't there be a commercial right now? I really would love to hear a commercial.
That's right.
Joining us now, George Jubb Dunham.
Oh, really?
Live from the tennis courts in Oxnard.
Look at this. Hey now.
Hey now.
Oh. You didn't tell me you were coming to camp.
Yeah, I know. I forgot to tell you. I decided to come out here this year.
Did you guys wake up a cowboy today?
No, we forgot to do that. Maybe we'll do it tomorrow.
Are you doing bits?
Who's your secret
Have
cowboy?
Have you done enough bits?
No. Have you? I told Man. You to do a couple bits here. What are you doing?
I've been just thinking about bits. I can't come up with anything. That's why we brought you on.
Yeah, I can't either.
Well, we're here again, George, with Sparky Anderson.
Do you have any fish yet?
No, that was my first question I had for you guys is, are you up for Spencer McKenzie's tonight?
Junior has already
we have Muser
secured me
here.
As
oh,
a...
Oh, no. Are you going to your sushi run?
Sushi or Spencer's on night one? Ah, jeez.
Junior has secured me as on the sushi wagon.
Why not both?
Yeah. Dan and I have a sushi date tonight, but you guys are invited. And I avoided sushi last night to save myself for Dan.
Wow. That's
well, I'd hate to interrupt that.
Although it's not uncommon for Junior to do sushi on consecutive nights.
Not uncommon
I've seen
at
it
all.
Before.
But I wanted my first sushi experience here to be special.
That is special.
Because we had talked about it as long ago as a week ago.
Yes. We've been anticipating this for quite some time. Nearly 10 days.
Yes.
Do y'all overrate that place, or do we overrate Spencer McKenzie's?
Impossible.
Spencer McKenzie's can't be overrated.
I now agree with that.
Really?
Yeah.
You're down with Spencer McKenzie's?
I used to not agree with that, but I find myself wanting to go there every day.
Have you checked what's been burned down?
No.
What did we lose in the fire?
Nothing
we
that
called,
I know of.
We called Spencer McKenzie's during the fire to make sure they
oh,
were okay.
Oh, we did.
And they are okay.
Okay,
but
good.
Perhaps the sushi place has been...
I don't think it got downtown.
No, it's not surrounded by trees.
No, Ojai. I don't know what...
Ooh, did Ojai make it through
Ojai
all that?
Ojai made everything, but we'll investigate.
Yes.
Of course.
We'll take a trip up there just to make sure.
Cowboy press conference scheduled to start at 1 o'clock. Which Jake already knew, like, during the meeting. He's like, what does that mean, 1:15? We're now wondering if it means 1:30.
Hey, isn't that a bad sign? Don't you want everything to be squared away for this
They've
season?
Had 7 months, Junior,
right.
to prepare for this press conference, right. and they're late?
That's what happens when you lose Witten.
You can't get this. Exactly.
Seriously.
Witten would not let this happen.
You can't get this started on time. How can you stay onside? Snap count and
you know what's happening right now is Dak is running around trying to squirt teammates with his penis gun.
Why did you say that?
He had what did he
that
have?
That was a intentional attempt to get that word out onto the air.
Gun?
Jerry's late every year, isn't he? Didn't it always start 5, 10, 15 minutes late?
Oh yeah. But why?
It's cowboy time.
I think they gotta find Jerry every year.
Where do you think he is?
Doddering around.
Wait room?
Doing a deal, maybe? Or
doing a deal.
I want me some
more
glory
pull-ups. Do you think you can do more pull-ups than Jerry?
No.
We were trying to, Bob and I every year say the same thing. Man, Rich Dalrymple lives the life, doesn't he? Like, doesn't he look more tan and fit and just happier every year?
Yeah, but he's got to answer to Jerry every day.
Say,
there's a lot of stress involved with that job.
For a guy who does look like he lives the most relaxed life of anybody you know, so much so that I think he wears the zip-up fleece with nothing underneath it.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah, which that's really relaxed.
That says a lot.
Right? He has to be the most stressed out guy that exists, right?
Talk about putting out fires in the last 30 years.
Yeah, but it's never him that's going to get in real trouble.
But he's
trying to put out fires,
Jerry's
but still, he does it
to
in that calm.
To,
he's got a steady hand on the helm.
Was Fix This S Rich just a glimpse behind the scenes as to what he dealt?
That's what everybody
with
says
every
to
day.
Him. Yeah.
Like if anything's broken, he's looked upon to fix it.
Fix it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What a ridiculous position.
Mike the cleaner.
Mike the cleaner, but
I got the call from Rich Dalrymple the Monday after the Carolina Panther intros.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
What did you do that day?
Remember, you were in the booth with me when they played the Meow Mix song, and I started laughing through their intros.
So the Panthers are running out onto the field to the Meow Mix song.
With me laughing through their names, and they complained. And
what Sam Mills.
And I heard from Rich to fix it.
What were you told?
Just don't laugh during opponents' introductions. I said, okay, that's fair, but yeah. Maybe don't play the Meow Mix song with the cat on the video board going like this with his paw.
That was the kicker.
They're blaming you. They're blaming you for laughing at something that was
yeah.
funny.
Yeah, they were doing a bit, and I thought it was funny.
Boy, that's great. Was that the game with Quincy's last-second touchdown throw to Antonio Bryant? Was that the you-can't-call-us-losers-anymore game?
May have been.
Wow.
That's incredible.
Yeah, the Cowboys
recall,
won that
Bob.
Game, I think, because that made Carolina even that much more ticked.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And man, that you got you the
sports.
Call. What?
Your recall on sports is awesome.
That is pretty good.
You're amazed that I sort of remember a 2003 game against Carolina?
Yes. Yes, because I couldn't name what year it was.
15 years ago.
Hey, now you're going to make people check the facts, and we're going to find out my powers aren't nearly
I'm
as
checking
cool.
them right
yeah, but
now.
I'm not going to pay attention to them.
Did you?
I'm not going to believe you.
So did you find out which training camp has given us the most wins?
No, I'm still working on that.
Okay.
I've just... You know, I've written the list. I bought the scale. I'm going to step on it in a little bit.
So the ticket is
it's
here.
It's not Wichita Falls. I
yeah.
can confidently say that.
No, it's definitely not Wichita Falls. Your first training camp was Austin?
Austin, 1991, I think, was the first one.
So well before the ticket.
Yeah.
Same for you?
Well, a few years.
Thousand Oaks, 88.
88?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I heard you tell Brad about that. On your on your big podcast, guys. Mm-hmm. Welcome to podcasting.
You went to Thousand Oaks, too, didn't you?
No, I never went.
Oh, I thought you did.
No.
NFL, I was watching the NFL Network the other night because that's how hard I football, Junior, in the middle of July.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed something pretty cool coming back from break, which was the Cowboys 96 training camp. They showed like 2 minutes of it. And it was evidently it was the camp where we're going to go full speed ahead with Deion being a wide receiver because they're talking to Troy about
what
it.
Year was that?
I think 96. So I think after
Wichita Falls.
I think after no. I think they were still in Austin.
Austin. Okay.
So
yeah. 96 was Austin.
Their plan was to work him like as a full time receiver.
Play both
third,
ways.
Play both ways.
Yeah. Like the third wide receiver.
Yeah, I think so. Football's so easy that he's just going to play both ways. All right, let's knock out a break, guys.
That's what I was thinking.
I think Jerry has one more set of pull-ups, and then we'll be able to get the State of the Cowboys.
Do you mean like the diaper?
Address underway. He has to put on his pull-ups, and he'll be over here. Waddle over here with a diaper butt next.
This is Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket. Broadcasting live from the TXU Energy Mothership, KTCK AM Dallas-Fort Worth, KTCK FM Flower Mound, a Cumulus station. Once again, Bad Radio presents Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Is today the 14th?
Are we blowing today off?
We're focused on the 14th.
Where does...
It's my parents' anniversary on the 16th. How about that? Is that your birthday?
So you're looking ahead.
Kidding me?
Yeah, we're looking ahead.
Got to send flowers.
14th.
And now, here are your hosts, Bob Sturm and Dan McDowell.
Hi, Bob.
Yeah. Well, we're done already, Dan.
I'm exhausted.
Pretty taxing episode we put out there today, but
God.
At 3 o'clock, let's go back to Mino.
Guys are so lucky.
Thank you, Bob. No one brings you Dano.
What? And we welcome into the tent, next to the loudest tent in Oxnard.
Yeah.
Into our tent, it is the Heartline. Mike Reiner and Corby Davidson.
Mike? Corby.
Both Snake and Ryan.
It's Reiner and Corby.
We also have roommates Blake and Killer here.
Gay.
They demand a room together.
It's so weird.
Like they
you
were
guys
offered
just enjoy it
they
so
were
much.
Offered single rooms and they said no.
Blake, so did you guys get in one of those nice new rooms?
Yeah. I think they're all new. My room is great.
I know. I can't believe it.
I'm smacked so much ass. Don't tell anyone. No. Because they'll book us out of this hotel if they know how nice it is.
I know. He even has two beds.
They renovated the room.
Even has a driving range.
Well, that's no good.
like a Top Golf nice, in there. Mike?
What?
You got a nice room?
Yeah.
It's really nice. Great.
Did you drag
anything? I don't think I've ever stayed down in that area of the hotel here.
Yeah, but I don't think it's always been that nice. I think we're all relegated to the same hallway now because they're renovating the rest of it. The gym is not open.
Right. I know.
Any hot bitches?
But they do have a gym that's open
at the Four Point
Sheraton.
There's a Four Pointer Hotel, Jake. And we're going there today.
To work out.
Where they have a Four Pointer machine.
Failure. Gotta go to failure on that one.
What if they had a Four Pointer machine so you can get better at that?
Can you imagine how many guys would work at that?
It's difficult.
It's awkward.
Balance and the...
It's awkward.
Trust me.
I'm already great at it, man.
Go ahead, L4G.
I was a natural.
Oh, they do. There's a four-pointer machine.
Interesting.
It's called a sex doll.
Oh. Mm. I just hope to get through this life without a sex doll.
Why?
Well, yeah, why?
High and mighty.
What are you, weird?
High and mighty? I just don't want a sex doll.
Everybody
why not?
So today is Wednesday, July 25th, the 206th day of the year.
Get all the good, none of the bad.
Only having sex with people.
Oh, wow.
Look at me. There's 159 days left in 2018. Mike, on this day in 1956, it is the Andrea Doria collision. Are you into that?
That's the George Costanza was aboard that, right?
The Italian liner, Andrea Doria, sinking.
Was he in?
I don't know too much about it.
Oh, I thought you were into that. You're into some boat accident.
Yeah, the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Oh, okay. Well, then disregard this one.
Legend lives on from the year. What's this one?
The Andrea Doria.
The Andrea Doria.
In the end.
Jake, on this day in 1984, the first woman to walk in space. It was Soviet cosmonaut Svetlana Savetskaya.
Yay!
Oh,
let me tell you something.
I love
every Russian woman you find named Svetlana
hot
is hot.
I think Stalin.
Even if she has one leg?
I think Stalin's daughter.
Was Svetlana the name of the girl in The Sopranos with one leg?
I believe so.
Even her.
Yeah, what about the mustaches,
that
Mike?
What about what?
Hot.
What about the mustaches?
They don't have them over there.
Oh, you are crazy.
No. Russian women do not have mustaches.
Not all of them. Take a look at the NRA chick.
All right, you show me one that has a mustache.
The what NRA about, chick.
Who?
What about the landing strip?
Who's the NRA chick?
The Russian chick with all the NRA ties that are in the news. The red hair one.
Well, she's got red hair. She doesn't have a mustache.
Oh, that what's her spy name? Or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah. What's her name?
Pam.
Maria Butina.
Jake?
I don't know what you're talking about, man.
There's no way you don't know.
Why are you so into the Russian spying bit, Bob?
It has everything Jake likes. It has NRA, spy.
He should be thinking
girl.
He's never thinking football. That's the problem. It's all golf.
Maria Butina.
Yeah, and off topic.
Never heard
like
her name
this.
Before.
This is impossible.
I think Jake
seems
is
impossible.
Sandbagging.
But now I'm looking at her and
impossible.
I don't think there's a mustache there.
I promise you there's not.
Red hair doesn't usually come with a mustache, does it?
What?
What doesn't?
Red hair.
No, of course not.
It's possible I owe her an apology, although she did get arrested for espionage, right?
Which is awesome. Man, I'd love to be arrested for espionage. If anybody wants me to be a spy for any country, call me.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, if you're going to get a rap sheet, that's probably a... That has a cachet to it that's worth something, right?
Like, I'm not promising I'd be very good at it, but I would love to try.
At least you'll come out of it with some talking points.
Like if you're just knocking over a convenience store, that's...
But like a Canadian
might
spy.
Be held against you, but espionage, everyone's like, wow.
Spy on America?
Yeah.
You say this, espionage?
Espionage.
Yeah. Yes, I'll lock myself in with the Foo Fighters, and I'll tell you everything you want to know.
A little sick, Mike. Give me a break.
And this is the day in 1990 that Roseanne Barr sang the Star Spangled Banner.
Although I can't talk anyway.
Between games of a doubleheader at a Padres game.
Respected the flag.
And afterwards spit and grabbed her crotch. President George H.W. called her performance disgraceful.
Grabbed by the
She grabbed her crotch, spit, but did she kneel?
Did not kneel.
Well, she's not an American.
P1's email. Hey, Dan, I'd like to wish my husband happy birthday. His name is Mike Jennings. You met him at a softball field in Mansfield. He was one of the umpires and works as a foreign exchange student coordinator.
I thought she was white.
He mentioned you expressed some interest. Our organization is Share Southwest. I have attached the obligatory picture. Best wishes from Donna. Mike Jennings is the guy with the birthday. Certainly, my leader is the Sterminator. This is from Ronnie.
Yes.
Hit me with some Corby bragging. Here's a picture of my bride. Living here in Cali, I'm tempted to drive down from the Bay Area, hoist a few with y'all this weekend. To what extent is such a thing possible? Mike.
Zero.
None.
Zero.
I won the doubles intramural championship at TCU with my
Wait a minute. Who is this?
Sean Hopkins.
Is this a guy or a girl?
Guy.
It's not going to happen.
So I'm flying up tomorrow to Wrigley to go see Pearl Jam, and then Wilco on Sunday.
I'll be happy
to go to Kanye, but I pass.
Hoist an horchata with you.
So and, I was in...
Hoist a what?
An horchata.
Terminal A.
What's that?
I'd like to hold you to that.
Go back to Mexico.
Had an horchata last night at the taco place. It was lovely. They also had Jamaica. You might like that as well.
Jamaica.
Great afternoon, Dan. Today is my 29th year to occupy this planet we call Earth. I've spent the 5 years listening. And my body... he wants to hear Norm and Junior getting it on with a herd of Georgios passing by from Semper Fi... From Latrell?
Spreewell?
No. Kevin. Kevin Latrell.
Oh.
So. You're just laughing?
Whack that ass.
Yeah.
That's.
I just stare at males having sex and laugh uncontrollably.
That's such an amazing marriage.
So you
of audio.
Are kind of a spy.
Yeah. In a way.
Boy, it really is.
Like, there were two pieces of audio out there, separate. They were put together, and I've never seen a better thing created, right?
Like Reese's.
A little like Reese's.
Shut up, Ty.
Ty.
Dan.
That's right, a drop.
Come on. Okay.
You keep right, doing Ty. What you're doing, Ty.
In sports birthdays, Doug Drabek is 56.
Ah, yes. Through his last pitch, his arm fell off completely. Went straight into the catcher's mitt, arm holding the ball, called for a third strike, game over.
That arm is now in Cooperstown, the National Baseball Hall of Fame.
Shut up, Ty.
Corby! I think the Rangers are doing a bobblehead that's just the arm.
They'd be doing that if it was Doug Davis.
They're really doing a Ted Williams. Ted Williams bobblehead.
The Rangers are?
Alarm.
Yeah, they are.
The Rangers are doing a Ted Williams bobblehead.
I told you that the other day.
It's in like
I thought that was in Boston.
It's in a cooler.
No, no Rangers way. Are.
It's in a wheelbarrow, and you just hit the head.
I told you Chuck Morgan is doing this, and he says he's been working for years.
Why is Mike so mad?
Aren't they doing the Ted,
Listen, he
Ted
told
Williams
you.
Head race?
Because I told this ass about it the other day.
Whoa.
I just assumed it was Boston.
That's how it started with Grego.
Pedro Martinez is 47.
I'm going straight to the Coke dealer right after this.
Do you think Pedro's midget has wished him a happy birthday today?
Pedro's midget died.
Oh.
He might have haunted him though for his birthday.
Is Don Zimmer
Moment
dead?
Of silence for Pedro's midget.
So.
Paul in...
John Robinson is 83. Kevin Smith is 49.
John Robinson, the USC coach? That John Robinson?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought he was dead. That's the hardline zone Kevin Smith, Dan.
Iman, 63. Ileana Douglas, 53, Mike.
Oh, God, I used to love her. Really.
Who's that?
I believe you've said she needs a flea dip in the past.
No, I never did.
No, Mike did.
Okay.
Who is she?
She was in Cape Fear...
Been in a lot of movies. You know who she was.
Some other things.
And is.
Other
she
teams.
She was in Sons, remember?
Well, if I said she needed a flea dip in the past, she probably did, and very likely
what
still
happened
does.
To Ileana Douglas? She
Illy
was a
Dilly.
Fine character actress back in the day.
Yeah.
Well, Ilyilly. She got over 40, and
she got
too
eaten
old.
By a dinosaur in Jurassic Park.
Yeah, Matt LeBlanc is 51.
In Jurassic Park?
Yes, he did. That's Friends.
And Bob, Jackie Christie is 49.
Jackie Christie. Who's that?
That's Doug's wife.
Oh, really?
She probably recently got married to Doug again, right?
Can, can we hear the poem?
Don't they get married every year?
I thought they got married every 20 minutes.
Roses are red.
It's not Jackie the Joke Man.
Violets are blue. Every year I love you more and more.
Oh, but
all
I
right, now...
I have a birthday. Dave, you wouldn't mind.
If you look at a girl, I'm going to beat you.
Hold on. Roses are red. Violets are blue. If you look at a girl, I'm going to beat you. Is that... That's kind of touching,
no, we don't do that. He's a touching.
Yeah, it wouldn't be touching.
We don't do that.
All right, now here's Not Payola with Mike.
God, what a...
Just you know one of his favorites is?
Threat. I'm sorry, what, Mike?
So, happy birthday today to Matthew Johnson and to Edwin Cabanis. Back to you, Dan.
All right, now some spares.
Oh,
I didn't even hand you anything, did I?
I think Mike's trimmed the fat on his Facebook friends.
Really?
Yeah. Sure, everybody knows I'm hanging around in a little bit.
He can run trains more frequently.
Not paying accounts.
The great Tony Granato is 54 today.
Hey. Hockey?
He is hockey.
Fancy Weather Stars.
In fact, he has risen to such heights as the head men's hockey coach at the University of Wisconsin.
Whoa.
Jose Bautista, Joey Bats is 54. That can't be.
That's a different guy, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Boy, he got old fast. Tracy Murray, 47.
UCLA?
Did you get Billy Wagner? I see a...
got a fast car.
The great Billy Wagner's 47. Ed Sprague,
Wags.
51.
Wags from Billions.
Didn't Ed Sprague marry a Canadian synchronized swimmer, Mike?
I think he did.
that.
How would you know that?
Evgeny Nabokov is 43. And let's see, Mike...
I love media guides, Bob.
Kevin Kuzminoff is 37.
Oh, whoa. The Kuz.
Player of the week. What is his nickname?
Some say that the Rangers season.
Didn't we do this yesterday?
Kuz.
The Rangers season was screwed up when he got hurt.
The same day he won Player of the Week.
Yeah.
Man.
And he started the season off with, what, 14 home runs in the first five games?
Yeah.
In just a couple months,
really, the Kuz
I'll be hearing... how great the Kuz is.
Oh, God.
All right.
Who was I talking about? I can't even remember.
I have one dead for you today.
Oh.
And,
Why'd you turn your media guide directly to Jerry Jr.'s page?
I don't know. I'm just thumbing through it. I love media guides.
This must... Hold on. This is... Hold on a second. There's one dead today we have to get to, and this is why Jake's...
coaches on this thing.
Jake's trying to send us to break early because he doesn't want us to talk about
this. Screw him. We go to break when we go to break.
Born on this day, now dead, Jake. And this has really affected him all day. Lil Fat, P-H-A-T.
Oh, no wonder.
Died on this day in 2012. Remember that when Jake... God, he was a jerk that day.
Bro. No wonder he wants to get out of here.
Three. Bro, Lil Fat.
And you're done.
Dude, listen to this next day.
Shut it down.
Underground.
Oh, let's go.
No one else has it.
Entertainment news for you.
And this is brought to you by
Metter Auto Group and All Pro Foundation Repair.
So, let's say we get a little flashlight going here. Step inside the Copenhagen room, and here he is, Dallas Radio's most abrasive, polarizing, over the top personality. Here's Cobra.
Here he is, the Cobra. Here's Cobra.
HBO is officially moving forward with the Deadwood movie. The announcement was made by the HBO programming president, Casey Bloys, at the TCA Summer Press Tour today. He said, all these people worked hard to get this together. It's been a logistics nightmare getting all the cast members' schedules together, but we are there. It is green lit. So, it will be done. They will start shooting in October for a spring 2019 air date. And we're talking about the HBO show Deadwood that was one of their most five, as they say, successful original programs that they have run.
It was so successful they canceled it.
Yeah. Ended in 2006. I think that maybe when they say something like that, they're saying that
after the fact,
it got a cult following, and people couldn't realize that, you know, why it got canceled or whatever. But I think, you know, one of the reasons it got canceled because the cast was kind of like they wanted to move on and do other things. The show picked up 28 Emmy Award nominations during its run, winning 8.
And the run started when?
Like 04 or something like that? Sometime in the mid-aughts, if I remember correctly. And it followed the fictional town of Deadwood, South Dakota, set in the
Not
1800s.
Fictional, bro.
Was that real?
Yeah. All those characters were real.
Really?
Yes. This was yes, liberties were taken, but this is essentially an historical account of what happened.
I thought it was totally fictional.
No, there was a Swearingen. I mean, Wild Bill's in the beginning. Deadwood is a real town.
I thought it was like you pick and choose. Oh, there's a guy that everybody remembers historically that you throw in there. But I thought like Swearingen and What's Her Butt. I thought those were all.
No, you can look them all up, man. I geeked out on this show pretty hard. Like I said, it's very
kind of like Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah. Yes.
It was true, but you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying they're 100% historical accounts that everything happened and they're as accurate, but those people existed for the most part. They did.
It was based on reality.
Very, very much so. And that started in 04.
So the whole cast is back, and now the question is whether or not it's almost like having a Sopranos movie, you know, is 110 minutes, is that enough to get in what you need to get in?
I bet this thing's like 2.5 hours long.
Yeah, I guess they can do it however they want on HBO. That'd be cool. Speaking of films, the Coen brothers have announced that this fall... Now, this is really weird. So they had announced, Joel and Ethan Coen, they announced a new Netflix original series that would feature 6 tales about the American frontier. They say the project is actually a 132-minute feature film that is going to debut in competition at the Venice Film Festival, and then it'll be released on Netflix later on.
Neck flips?
Yeah. It is called The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. And they say it's an anthology of Western stories that they attempted to do, hoping to enlist the best directors working today. He says it was our great fortune that they both agreed to participate. So this is really confusing to me. So it's an anthology series, so you have little vignettes here and there that different directors did, and the Coens are just in charge of it all? Or did they
That's
actually...
what it sounds like.
Yeah.
It sounds like they're going to be overseers and not particularly hands-on.
Tim Blake Nelson stars as the eponymous Scruggs, which he is a often-used muse for the Coens. It's also going to star Liam Neeson and Tom Waits.
Interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But we don't know much else about that. Cool, though. Got us a new Coen brother movie. Which, have they done anything of note recently? Because they're not involved in the Fargo TV show at all.
No, they're not.
Anything that... I don't remember
What's
a
the
Coen...
the last thing you remember?
I don't.
Them?
I don't know. They, did they...
No Country,
no Country
was 07. Burn After Reading. They did True Grit, remember?
True Grit, that was good.
Which was good. I really enjoyed Inside Llewyn Davis. That was great.
I didn't
love
see that.
Love that.
Other than that, I mean, they've done stuff, but...
Yeah, nothing big.
Not really. I mean, Bridge love of Spies, guys. The Spielberg film that they...
That's pretty great,
did
too.
Did they write that?
Yeah.
Did they really?
Yep.
Never knew that.
That's good, Michael?
Oh, it's excellent. You need to see that.
Are there spies in it?
Yeah, there are spies in it.
What about bridges?
Not too many bridges that I recall.
Do the spies live under the bridges?
No, the spies don't live under the bridges.
Okay.
But this hits my Cold War sweet spot pretty good.
Well, after the television reboot of several shows, including Will and Grace and Roseanne and Murphy Brown's coming up, and it's a whole slew of them. Now it looks like one that will trump them all will be on there. Because this show won, I think, 200 Emmys when it was out in the 90s.
Maud?
No, that would be tough because there's no Maud. Unfortunately.
Just taking a shot.
Past the tragic death point of B. Arthur. Nope.
Night Court.
Nope, not Night Court.
Night Shift.
It appears that we will see a return of Frasier. Now, this floors me. I was a Frasier P1. I thought this show was absolutely brilliant, especially the fact you took this character from Cheers, this iconic character, and you moved him to a completely different place all the way across the country in Seattle, from Boston to Seattle, and you gave him a new job, a new family, and you just repurposed the character. And again, it went on to win all the Emmys. Seems like he won Best Actor every single year. David Hyde Pierce won Best Supporting Actor every single year. Best Show every single year. It set a record for the most Emmy wins for a scripted series, or set a record for 37, including 5 consecutive Emmys for Outstanding Comedy Series. You would have loved this show. And I'm almost kind of surprised that someone never got you into it back in the day. Man,
I didn't watch one episode of this.
Yeah, I didn't either. I didn't follow it after Cheers.
It was brilliant. It was really, really clever.
That was during my sports and TV dark period.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, it wasn't.
You had a sports dark period?
Yeah.
It ran from 93 to 2004.
Well, I mean, I didn't get in on it early.
Right.
Well, what was going on during this sports dark period?
I was raising a toddler.
Yeah.
Nothing like that to cause a dark period.
You guys with your kid excuses. They say that he is meeting with CBS. Now, this was an NBC show. And that, or I guess CBS TV Studios. I'm assuming that's CBS. For the reboots. And they say that, again, this may be a completely... It's got to be a completely different show because he lived with his father. His father moved in with him, John Mahoney. And John Mahoney died here last year.
Yeah, not too long ago.
And it's got to involve his brother because his brother stole the whole show. But for those that were big-time P1s of Frasier... It looks like that it's returning. And it just seems like that all of these shows, it's all up to the discretion of the famous actors to put these things together. Like the Will and Grace cast, like Roseanne. Like they just said, do you guys want to do this? And the networks are like, yeah, let's do this. That they don't even give it a second thought.
So the actors are the ones that get the ball rolling, huh?
Yeah, which is pretty rare, I think, in that industry. And I know he, as that character, Frasier, he was Frasier Crane from like 1983 Crane. Or 82 to 2004. That was his life, was Frasier Crane in two different settings, but still.
It's pretty good.
Game of Thrones has been, at least the final season, has been given an update as far as the return date. But the time frame is still kind of up in the air. They say that during the TCA press tour this week, that the final 6 episodes will air in the first half of 2019. But they're not giving an exact time. Sometime in the first half. And I guess I forgot there's only 6 left.
Just 6 episodes?
That's it. It's all we got left, and I will promise you, before that thing runs, I'm going to have to go back and watch like the last 2 seasons. I remember nothing. Was Ramsay Bolton eaten by the dogs in the last episode of this year, or was that the... No, that was two seasons ago, right?
I think he was eaten by a bear.
Danny?
Yes. Two seasons. This one all, didn't it all kind of culminate with the big war with the Night King or whatever he is?
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Bud Knight.
Yeah, with Bud Knight.
Yeah, the ice wall came down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Dill.
Oh, sorry. It's only been out for like a year.
Yeah, it has. I feel like that it was out 2 years ago.
That'll be a fun rewatch, though. I'll do it with you.
Yeah.
Go back and knock out the last half of the most recent season.
What was the last half, though? Was there 10 episodes this past year, or did they only do like 8? Was it a smaller sample size, kind of like what Breaking Bad did?
I don't know, my friend.
Yeah. I'm asking the wrong fella.
I mean, you with your questions.
Yeah, it could be. It might not be. Who knows? How can anybody know that?
9 to 5 is coming back, and it is coming back as a sequel to the 1980 comedy classic starring Jane Fonda, Lily Tomlin, and Dolly Parton. Jane Fonda confirmed, she says, "My role is an executive producer. I'm working with the writers, with Lily, and talking to the writers. But right now, Dolly, Lily, and I are all in." So here we are, almost 40 years after the movie, which did great at the box office. For adjusted monies, it made $360 million. And it's become a cult classic. But how do you put one 78-year-old, one 74-year-old, and one 80-year-old, or whatever it is, how do you put them in the similar position during the Me Too movement?
Hollywood will figure it out. They always do.
All right, we got to go.
Yes, is that all you have?
Yes, Danny. Yeah, let's dive in
that's all we have.
To what we heard there? A couple of hours ago. We're here.
No, we're not here. Are you there?
You guys there?
You're here.
Yeah, I'm here. Stop it.
Community Quick Hits. Brought to you by
Johnny Cantrell's Texas Nissan of Grapevine.
Once again, here's Cobra.
Okay. Let's see where we need to start. Let's start with a Wichita Falls story.
Because as falls Wichita, so falls Wichita Falls.
What was the weapon of choice when it came to your mom for spanking?
The belt.
Hang on, Norm. We'll get to you in a minute.
Yeah, they went the basic belt route.
Did mom ever do this?
Yeah, she did. Now, I got a switch a few times, too.
Did you have to go pick your own switch?
A couple times I did. That was mostly by my grandparents, though.
Yeah. Danny?
Whatever was handy. A wooden spoon, a belt, razor strap, switch, hand.
Yeah, I got the hand.
I mean, you name it. If it was within reach, it could be used as a lesson yeah. Experience.
The
love
tool.
Fist.
Yes. Yeah.
Huh.
Weird.
Yeah, that is.
Mine was the fly swatter for the mom. Fly swatter was...
I hoped for the fly swatter.
God.
But the thing is mom would get so mad that the fly swatter flap would come off.
Yeah.
And then it's just the wire. And I'd be run... I remember just distinctly running around the house as she's chasing me, trying to swat my ass with that thing.
Always got the warning, if you ran, it was going to be worse.
Yeah, I did too.
Or if you try to cover it up with your hand, it was just going to be worse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, at what age did that stop?
What were they thinking? Like, that's going to make some difference.
Well, it scared the crap out of me as a little kid, for sure. Now, would I repeat it? Yeah, I would do stupid stuff after that, but I think it was a nice deterrent. You know?
It got me thinking, for
Dude,
sure.
My kids are not real fond of that type of... activity, mm-hmm. if they're in trouble.
A type of corporal punishment.
Yeah. Well, you know, hey, I'll let you watch Step Brothers, but don't cross the line. Otherwise, things get nasty. Well, there was an incident in Wichita Falls when a woman decided to go after her adult daughter with a weed trimmer.
Great.
Yeah. This happened at 12:35 in the a.m.
I've heard of cases where that might be appropriate, but most of the time it's self-inflicted.
Like you're doing yard work?
You could say that.
What are you trying to do?
Don't worry about it.
No. I'm going to worry about it. What are you talking about?
Things weed trimmers might be used for.
He's talking about trimming your bush.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing.
Yeah, he is. With a garden tool.
Yeah. That's like so that's, bad.
Like that's ever happened ever.
We don't know that. It might have.
You continue to disappoint.
Again.
Mm-hmm.
Ruining training camp on the first day.
There'll be more.
So Carrie Nicole Roberson is 43 years old.
Mm-hmm.
She has been charged with aggravated assault, family violence, a felony. So the cops come over and the victim, the daughter, who is 26. Let's do the math here. 43-year-old mom. 26.
17.
Now there's your unplanned pregnancy, Danny, right there.
You think?
By the way, confirmation that it is 50% level of planned versus unplanned pregnancies.
I'm still going to go with 1% or
with
plan.
One.
Uh-huh. I can prove that. Just come over to my house for Christmas.
Oh, man. So the victim told a responding officer that the mother had tried to get her several times and had punched her in the face several times after the daughter had kicked the mother in the chest in a joking manner. According to a witness, the daughter and the mom were playing around, and in a joking manner, the daughter gently kicked the mom in her chest. They say the kick didn't have enough force to cause any sort of injury or pain. A second witness corroborated the story, but then that's when the mom got the weed whacker and said, "I ain't fronting no games here." Now, the mom is describing...
Are there photos to this story?
What do you want to see? The mom?
Either.
Yeah, here's the mom.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I would tap that.
It's not the point. The mom described the device as something that someone in a wheelchair would use to pick up things, like a grabber. Yeah. You ever seen those?
I don't think so.
I haven't either.
I've never seen anything like that.
A grabber? That's... Is that like something that you would see in a... Like a, I don't know, Chuck E. Cheese? One of those games where the big claw comes down and picks up a Nerf ball or something?
I guess.
I don't know. It always weirds me out when adults, adult mom, adult daughter, adult dad, adult son, go after it. It's so weird that it would ever get to... I get it. You get pissed off at your parents. We all have been there a million times. Whether it's kid or an adult, and more so as an adult. You're just like, oh, God, calling your sister, can you believe what mom did? Or you know what dad just said? All that. And you just get totally torqued off at them. That happens all the time. But to actually go after your kid or go after your dad, so weird.
Can't relate, man. Cannot relate.
No.
No.
There was stuff you did and stuff you didn't do, and that was one of the things you didn't do, is go after your dad or your mom.
No. I still feel this to this day, my dad could beat my ass if I did try to go after him. And you know what? That's the way it should be.
Yeah.
You should always feel that your dad could kick your ass.
Yeah.
Like right now, Danny, Phil is somewhere.
Phil is 84 years old.
Yep.
Yeah. And he could beat your ass.
I don't doubt that.
Like throw a Schlitz can at your head or something like that and just knock you silly.
Don't doubt that one bit, man.
It appears that we have an odd situation going on with the Mavericks. Now, you want to wait and save this? Because have you read what the Mavericks are doing with their dancers?
Yeah.
This may be a segment unto itself.
Okay, yeah,
as far
let's
as,
save
you want
it.
To save that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, American Airlines is based here, best here. That is their slogan.
Mm-hmm.
A Mississippi man is suing American Airlines after he says he was bitten by a brown recluse spider on board a flight.
Oh, no, a Tommy Daniels episode.
And he almost lost his thumb. And yes, for those who don't know, we had a former employee who was bitten by a brown recluse spider and lost both legs, I believe, in the incident.
Yes.
Marcus Fleming was seated on the plane waiting to take off from the airport in Jackson, Mississippi, when he was bitten. And by the time he had landed, his hand was in extreme pain and his thumb had changed colors.
Well, how about that?
The brown recluse spider is the absolute worst. They have venom that can be harmful, that can kill you. Really, right?
Oh, yeah.
A brown recluse can kill you, for sure.
So the brown recluse spider bit him, and then it just wandered off, and nobody caught it or anything, and it's still wandering around the airplane,
I mean, I'm
biting
sure,
others?
I doubt that they got it. Those things can go to any little nook and cranny and completely disappear. The thing is, though, how can an airline be held responsible for something like that? They're not...
Yeah, it's not like they got a brown recluse spider farm on board or anything like
right.
that.
Can we gently put our brown recluse spider farm in the overhead?
But still.
Yeah, you know, but what if... You know, we've heard about snakes dropping down. Not the snakes on a plane, but remember we saw the photo of a snake dropping down from the overhead?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't put that thing in there to scare people.
Yeah,
or
but
to have,
if you're on their airplane, they're responsible.
They're responsible for everything, right?
Yeah.
Man, there's got to be fine print that they need to put in there that they probably never thought of. That if you're bitten by something or you get a mosquito bite or if there's...
We got a brown recluse spider farm in the overhead somewhere. If one of them bites you, then you're on your own here.
If there's like a puma that gets loose... That they're not responsible.
By the way, that is your default feline of prey.
Puma?
Yeah. That's more reference than lynx or...
Jaguars or any of it.
Mountain lion.
Well, he is requesting $500,000 in damages to cover the medical expenses, the pain and suffering and emotional distress. He's also naming the... Oh, no, Danny.
I'm listening.
He's also naming the airport... In the suit. You know what the airport is in
the
Memphis?
Suit. In Memphis? The Elvis Presley Airport?
I'm sorry, Jackson, Mississippi. It is the Medgar Evers International Airport.
Oh, no.
Jesus. We know your feelings on him.
Yeah, you've issued a positioning statement long ago that made it very clear.
Yeah. Yeah.
So...
I was reading the text on one of Corby's t-shirts, and somebody happened to be recording it.
Oh, no. Did we lose it, Mino?
Surely we've got that.
I don't like Medgar Evers.
There he is!
There he is!
There was his random, out-of-the-blue positioning statement.
No, you're, like, real proud of this new shirt you got. I don't like Medgar Evers.
I don't remember you had a shirt like that.
You do too. He showed up at the show meeting. He had a tiki. He had a tiki torch, and he had the shirt. And I was like, "Does that shirt say?" And then I said it.
I don't like Medgar Evers.
And he looked. And he looked me right in the eye, and he lit his cigarette with the tiki torch, and he said, "You're GD right. It does, Bayless."
No, that was.
That's exactly how it happened.
We were trying to honor the freedom fighter that was Medgar Evers and how he went against the system and bucked racism and Mike and I were having, I believe we stopped down and had ourselves a solemn prayer, and before we even got started,
we
you
held
said
hands.
This.
Yeah.
I don't like Medgar Evers.
And then you had to leave the room as we started our homage to the great Medgar Evers.
Yeah, we were praying for him and all of those who followed him.
Yes. No, you couldn't be a part of it. You had to leave.
My story sounds much more plausible.
I don't know, man.
All right, we got to go, man.